Thank you, sir. Wow. I appreciate you, bro. Thank you. I love this brother right here. He knows that. Still waiting for that call, but it's all. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much. You could take my mic down. We love you so much. We thank you so much just for this opportunity to be together, God. Thank you so much that we get to worship you this morning together. Father, again, be with Trey, Kat, and the kids. Even though it was a small accident, God, it's never comfortable. Just going through this stuff, especially with Kat's neck injury and stuff. And Father, just be with them. Give them great comfort. I pray, God, that they're comforted knowing the church is praying for them and that you're faithful and have protected them during this ordeal, God. Thank you so much for Scott and Dion and the rest of the team that's in Jamaica right now, preaching the word and just having a great time and a great impact on that church. Father, help us here in Baltimore to have a great impact on our communities, God, on our families. Help us to just really enjoy our time together. Let me speak your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How y'all doing this morning? Ooh, there you go. I want to ask you a question. Who do you say Jesus is? I want you to really think about that. You know, we've been focusing on the book of Mark as a congregation, and we've been looking at Jesus in action. And the video we just saw, we actually saw Jesus in action. Amen? How did we see him in action? It was the lives of the brothers and sisters. That brother, Mr. Hooper, denying himself when he's tired, saying, I'm just going to go out for one more hour. And look at how many people's lives were impacted. It's not about the one. It's about the impact that we can make to our communities when we deny ourselves. Jesus blesses us when we deny ourselves. Amen? Oh, you didn't say amen. That was not a good amen. You know, most of our teens are in King's Dominion. Thank you guys for being here. Welcome. Hey, yeah. You got to represent. They're having a teen-led service in King's Dominion. They're going to be running from zombies and people trying to kill them later after that. See, some of you are wondering if that was actually true. It is. They're going to be running from people with chainsaws without the chains on them. So they're going to have a good time. But, I'm going too fast. Okay, let me slow down. So we're missing some of our teens today, so I'm going to need the rest of you to give us that extra oomph, okay? Amen? Thank you. So again, we've been looking in the book of Mark, looking at Jesus in action. This morning, I want to go in a little different direction with the text that I've been given. I want to look at necessarily not him in action, but him having a conversation on the way to the next location. So please turn your Bibles over to Mark 8. You know, I believe, and we're going to finish up the book of Mark 8 today, the chapter of Mark 8, and I believe that he asks us some very important questions. First, he asked them, but I believe he's asking us as well. Mark 8, starting in verse 27, it says, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. So we see here Jesus walking with his disciples, and he simply asks, who do the people say I am? You know, when I was preparing for this sermon, I was like, why is this even a relevant question? Why would he ask them that? You know, I don't know about you, but when I start asking myself about scriptures, I have to first pray about it. I don't know about you. Some people go straight to a commentary. See, the commentary is not God. God is God. And he has given me the power of the Holy Spirit in my life to discern the scriptures. And he has done the same thing for you. So the way I do my Bible study is I pray about it and wait for an answer. Amen? Amen. Am I the only one out there that does that? Okay, good. I'm not saying don't go to commentaries. What I'm saying is go to God first, who wrote what they're commentating about. Kind of makes sense, right? So go. I pray, go to a commentary, then a spiritual person, get some input, and then kind of come up with my conclusion. That's just me. I don't know. I thank God they gave me the spirit to be able to do this. So I think as I pondered this, I was like, you know what? I think he wanted to know what they thought others were saying about him. Not like he didn't know anyway, because he's God, right? But I think ultimately in verse 29, he says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? I think that's the big question. The big question that he wants to ask you, my first point is, who is Jesus to you? I want you to really think about that, though. Don't give me a rote answer. Don't give me, I've been a disciple 20 years. Yeah, I know Jesus. Do you really know who Jesus is? I know a lot of religious people that don't know who Jesus is. I've met a lot of people who claim to know him, but once they look at the scriptures, they realize they knew a facsimile of who he truly is. They knew some facts. Anybody here know facts about Michael Jordan? Yeah, right? You know, you might know some of the things he's done, right? And I'm not going to bore you with those details because I don't know them. But because I really don't care. I enjoyed watching him play. But just knowing those facts, do you know Michael Jordan? No, just because you know Jesus multiplied food, does that mean you know him intimately? No. It's very important. Who is Jesus to you? Why? Why is that important for us to know? Because it will directly impact your relationship with God, your relationship to the church, and your relationship with this lost world. Why do I say that? How can you know a God if Jesus is God and you don't know him intimately? You know, believing and knowing somebody are two different things. You might know somebody exists, but that doesn't mean that you know them intimately. There are certain things you do with someone you know intimately, right? You actually talk to them, and they talk to you. It's not like you just say, okay, Mr. Obama, how you doing? I don't hear a response back. I don't know Mr. Obama. I know him from afar, but I know that some things he's done, but I don't know him as a person. If your view of Jesus is incomplete, if you only see one or the other, if you only see him as a benefactor or as a righteous Lord, do you really know Jesus? So you know what? Jesus is both the lion and the lamb. You know that? Y'all are dead this morning. And maybe I'm not preaching well. I'll just own that. Let me loosen my tie a little bit. I guess we got to go in. Let's go in. All right. So Jesus is both the lion and the lamb, right? He is both the warrior that we read about in the book of Revelation, and he's also the lamb that was slain that we see from the Gospels. He's both. Do you recognize him in your life as both? Or do you only look at one or the other? See, I believe, well, we're going to get there. We're almost there. I'm so excited about this. This is so awesome. How can you have an effective relationship with the church if Jesus is the head of that church and you don't know the head? You know, during the solemn assembly, there was more than a few people that got up, and I appreciate everyone's openness. I mean, there was a lot of tears shed that Saturday, weren't there? I mean, I felt very close to the church after that day. But there were a lot of people that shared the same thing. I don't know you, and you don't know me. What have you done about it since that Saturday? I'm talking about to the people who said it, what have you done? And the people who heard it, what have we done? Guys, just getting up and confessing something does not mean repentance. Just about acknowledgement doesn't mean change. Change is when we intentionally move from one place to the other and do something about it. So if no one knows you, have you made yourself knowable? Is that a word? I just made it up. Are you vulnerable? I know that's a word. Are you open? Are you willing to be known? You know, some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. It's all good. Whatever vert you are is fine. As long as you're here, you might as well make the best of your time. You know, I tell my son sometimes, I'm like, man, if you're there, you might as well participate. Because just sitting there like a lump on a log will mean you're wasting your time. So you might as well get the best out of the experience. I say the same thing for church. You know, there's sometimes when we come in and we're on our A game. We're excited. We're smiling. We're saying amen at the appropriate times. We're engaged. Amen? And then there's times when we're not feeling it. When we're quiet in our seats. When we're waiting for the amenable whatever. Where are you at this morning? Who is Jesus to you? How can you reach a lost world to tell them about somebody you don't know? It's impossible. Hey, why don't you come to my church? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Come meet my Lord. I need to introduce you to the person who set me free. That's the person you want to introduce people to. Because that's the people are going to come in flocks to come see. We're all in bondage. Or at least we were until we met Jesus. Jesus is the answer. People want to talk to me about politics. Jesus is the answer. You talk about the president. Stop talking about the president. Talk about Jesus. Anybody can get on Facebook and slam the president. Have you glorified Jesus on Facebook? Have you glorified Jesus on your social media? Man, leave that man alone. Pray for that man. That boy needs prayer. I wish he would come to church. I wouldn't be mad at him. I'd ask him to study the Bible. Let's sit down. Let's look at some stuff, man. Okay, at the end of verse 29, we see that Jesus knew exactly who Jesus was, but did he really know who Jesus was? See, he understood the title. See, up until Mark 8, they kind of didn't know who Jesus was. That's why while they're walking around, Jesus finally says, all right, guys, do you know who I am? And Peter steps up and says, yeah, you're the Messiah. And we know from another account that Jesus turns around and says, yeah, this was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, not by man. And then he goes and gives them the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom and all that kind of stuff. Let's continue to read. Mark 8:31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Not a good move. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. He said, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Okay, let's stop right there. I love Peter. I love Peter because he was so passionate. He was willing to stick his foot in his mouth every 5 minutes. I could work with somebody like that because you know what they're thinking. There's some people that sit back in the cut and just look at you, and you know they're not with you, but they're not willing to tell you. It's hard to work with people like that. You're welcome. I am not that guy. I will tell you what I think, and I will stick my foot in my mouth more times than not. But it's because I'm willing for us to be unified. Amen? Peter was that guy. He was always leading with his heart, and he got himself in trouble. In verse 31, Jesus begins to tell the disciples about himself. How? Plainly. They walked around. They ate food that he multiplied. They watched him heal people, and they still didn't get who he really was. You know, we're mostly filled with a room of people who have been are disciples of Jesus, who have been disciples maybe for a short time or a long time. These guys had walked with Jesus physically for a minute, and they didn't totally get who he is. Do you totally get who Jesus is? See, they thought the Messiah was the one that was going to free them from Roman occupation. They already had this plan for this Messiah. So here comes Jesus saying, they're going to kill me. Not only that, I'm going to suffer. And they lost their minds. They're like, hold up, that's not what was supposed to happen. Romans 8, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There ain't nothing in that verse that says anything about your physical condition. Jesus did not come here to set us free physically. Though that would happen for some, not for everyone. That was not the promise. The promise is that he would come to reconcile us with himself through freeing us from sin. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's good news. Because if you're still in sin, you cannot have a relationship with God. Very important. If you don't get anything from this sermon, get that. If you are still in your sin, you can't have a relationship with God. I don't care what you feel. You can sway your hand in the air. You can listen to whatever music you want, you know, Christian gospel music. You could pray every day, but if you're still willfully living in sin and not repenting of your sins, you cannot know Jesus. It is not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling. There's a lot of religious people that feel a lot of stuff that Jesus one day will say, I never knew you. Get away from me. Do you want to be in that position? Shucks, I know I don't. I don't want to live this hard Christian life to make it to the end. And he'd be like, who are you? I never knew you. Oh, that's not funny. I'm not. So I'd rather stick my foot in my mouth every once in a while than live in silence and not live completely for God. You know, in verse 33, Jesus rebuked them back. When did Peter think it was a good idea to rebuke the Messiah? That's just silly. This man, you just saw him multiply food and heal people, and you're going to rebuke him? Well, Jesus wasn't having none of that. And he rebuked them back. He said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. My second point is, what do you have in mind? What do you... You have something in mind. You know what you're going to do with your life. You know either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve yourself. You don't got to think about it too long. We're kind of on this... We just kind of go with the flow, you know what I mean? It's like if you already know when you walk into a place if you're going to be godly focused or not. I know when I'm going to share my faith because I'm thinking about it. It's intentional. It doesn't just happen by mistake. Since that's one of the things I'm repenting of, it's on my mind constantly now. So I got my pocket full of invitations and I got my mouth ready to be open. And I'm looking for opportunities. Me and my wife were having breakfast yesterday. Excuse me. And some young ladies and a dude was sitting there talking bad about some church. And I was like, whoa, that's interesting. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to share with her. How am I going to do it? Yeah, we're going to do it. It was a crowded restaurant. Man, I'm going to do it. We're about to leave. My wife runs up to her and says, I want to invite you to church. I'm like, dang, she stole my thunder, man. You stole my repentance. I was about to do it, Lord. But we are one, so I get a check. Amen. Amen. What do you have in mind? Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you're taking notes, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. We do not think like God naturally. We think like ourselves, which is not like God. We think about filling our bellies. We think about filling our pockets. Jesus is about giving stuff away. We're about gathering stuff for ourselves. Or maybe that's just me. No, I didn't think it was. Thank you for confirming that. We're about ourselves a lot of times. And you know what? After being a disciple for a minute, we learn to be more like God. I was thinking about my prayer life while I was thinking about this, and I was like, when's the last time I asked God for something physical? Something materialistic? I think the last thing was cars, because our cars were literally driving it, stop. Like, okay, this is faith right here. Let's try to start this junk back up and let's go. So I think we prayed for cars, but that was the last thing I prayed for. And I didn't ask him for something specific. I didn't say, all right, God, that Tesla, that really does look kind of nice. it wasn't even a thought. I don't want a Tesla. Because when you get into a car accident, it hurts more. Did you get that? It hurts the pocket more. Yeah. So I don't care about materialistic stuff. In Kansas, because the market's a little different than here, our house there was our house here. We don't care. We're here for a very short period of time. Ask me that 24 years ago. It would have been about the nice car. What kind of car do I drive? What kind of clothes do I wear? I was telling my brother the other day, man, you look sharp. He goes, $5. $5. Goodwill, baby, $5. I'm like, dang. So now we got to all, like, you know, compete in the thrift shop together. I don't know. But I don't know about your prayer life, but hopefully the older you get, the less stuff you pray about. You're praying for other people. What's in your mind? God wants to know what's in your mind. He rebuked Peter and said, He says, you do not have in mind the concerns of God. What is God concerned about? He don't care what you drive. He wants you to drive something reliable. Now, I enjoy the car I drive now. It's a couple of years older, but you know what? It's reliable. It gets me from point A to point B, and God actually gave me a nice car. I like it. I enjoy it. So God doesn't always just give you the bare necessities. I'm not driving a 1982 Yugo or something like that that works. He gave me a car that functions, but I like it. God does want us to have some fun, amen? Anybody went to the Mary Gala? Mary Gala, anybody? Woo! See, married people can have fun and be righteous. It was a great time. Do you have the things of God in mind? Or do you only have the things of man? Very important. You know, this is all leading to something. When I was looking at this, Scott said, okay, you could start in 27 and go as far as you want to go. And I was like, boy, that's dangerous because I might wind up in Mark 12 or something. I don't know. But I feel like Mark 8, the end of it, really just consolidates into this great point. Let's look over in Mark 8, 34. He said, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple, say my disciple. My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. My last point is simply, are you denying yourself daily? Are you denying yourself daily? Again, verses 34 to 38 is a sermon on itself. But I wanted to tie it all together because I believe that Jesus wants to know, okay, who am I to you? Then what do you have in mind? And are you denying yourself daily? You know, if you really want to be a disciple of his, you must deny. It's not a request, guys. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Are you obeying God's command of denying yourself daily? And the video just showed it where Mr. Hooper was like, I'm tired. Do you think God would have been mad at him if he rested? No, I don't believe he would have been. But he blessed the heart of denial. Amen. And introduced him to a dude that filled a room up with future disciples. That's the power of God. When you deny yourself, God will bless it and multiply whatever effort you give. Isn't that encouraging? It better be encouraging because it's not. We're in the wrong business. Why are we here? We're here to seek and save a lost world. And my goodness, the last time you went outside, did you not see it was lost? You can't walk in the mall and not see it's lost. You can't walk around with, especially as a man, with the women, the way that they dress and the advertisements, I got to pray up before I go to the mall. I got to keep my eyes directly on the floor because there's stuff all around me. Why? Because the devil is trying to take you out. He's trying to ruin your marriage. Fathers, he's trying to ruin your example to your sons. He wants your son to catch you looking at something you're not looking, you're supposed to look at. So he can say, yeah, see, that's why I don't like church. Because y'all people are fake. Come on, now you know it's true. Some of our kids are looking for loopholes and excuses not to become Christians. And sometimes we give them that loophole and their excuse. It's not right. We must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. The next generation is depending on us to be those examples. You can be a disciple. A disciple just means a person who follows a teacher, right? So you could follow any teacher you want with their requirements. If you want Jesus as your teacher and your master, there are requirements. The first one is you must deny yourself. You must carry your cross. And you must follow him. These are not suggestions. These aren't done by the Bible Talk leaders or the full-time staff or the elders of the church. This ain't for the elite disciple. If you're a disciple, you are elite. If you're a disciple, you're a leader. Oh my goodness. I'm so tired of people saying, I'm not in leadership. Are you a disciple? You're a leader. You are leading others to Christ. Is there any other call that's not as glorious? Oh my goodness. We are all leaders up in here. We need the church to step up. God needs every one of us to step up, to die to the criticalness in our hearts. Some of us in this room are critical towards leadership, and you're critical towards God. We must repent, guys. The Baltimore church will never get to where it needs to go unless we're unified. Jesus prayed for his disciples to be unified together. That's us. He was literally praying for us. Are you unified? Now, does that mean you agree with every single thing? Nope. There are things I necessarily would do differently. But you know what? At the end of the day, God has put you in charge. Yes, sir. Let's go. Because my idea ain't better than your idea. It's just different. And if I'm humble, maybe that person will listen to me and we could try my idea one day. I don't know about you. Yes, I do know about you. I've only been in the full-time ministry 9 years. I've been in God's church for 24 years. I've been more time out of the ministry than in the ministry. Leadership does not stop us from opening our mouths and share our faith. If you want to do something, do it. Just don't do it in a box or a vacuum. Let's just talk about it together and let's see if it's the best direction for us to go. But let's go. I'd rather tell somebody, yo, slow up a little bit. Let's get everybody on board, then say, okay, come on, man, let's go. If anyone has told you not to do something, ask why not. Man, there's people, man, there's ministries popping up. Oh, I just want to go do this. Let's do it. Why not? If it's to glorify God and not yourself, let's do it. You heard what I said? Glorify God, not yourself. This is not about us. So many times we want to lead because you think, this ain't glorious, trust me. I'm sweating my butt off up here. I'm getting a tan that I did not ask for. This is a responsibility. Leadership is a responsibility. God is going to hold us accountable to every word that comes out of our mouth. Verse 35 says it simply, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. How many of us are saving our lives here? Would you feel bad if Jesus looked at your Netflix account? Oop, I heard something. I heard somebody go, oop. They might be confessing somebody else's sin. I don't know, but would you feel bad if Jesus looked at your YouTube account and you see you watch 3 hours of videos? What did you do with that 3 hours? That was a waste of your time. That was a waste of God's breath in you. There's a time to relax, guys. I get it. But when you binge something for 4 hours, good Lord, there's a little something wrong with that. I'm sure people are going to go, bro, can I talk to you? Come talk to me. Let's talk. Let's talk. I'll tell you a couple suggestions that I have for your 4 hours. You can come with me. Help me go share my faith because I'm scared sometimes. I bet you if you binging 4 hours on Netflix, you ain't sharing your faith neither. That's just an assumption. I could be totally wrong. You might be needing to binge because you've been sharing your faith all day. I don't know. It could be your recovery time. I get it. But you know what? Stop recovering so much. Help me. I need some help. Do you need any help? Does anyone in here need help? Thank you. Get off of Netflix. I got Netflix. My kids use it mostly. I don't really got time for that. Anyway, verse 36. What will you gain by going after everything this world has to offer, but forsaking God in the process? So when you become the VP of your company, do you ascend to heaven after that point? After you get that PhD? Now, are those things bad to go after? No! Can we not be silly? I'm not saying that. But I am saying they are bad if you're going after that more than you're going after God and his mission for your life. If you're forsaking God and his ministry to go after those things, I'm sorry, it's not a season. A lot of people make that excuse, well, bro, this is my season. No. I never saw that in Jesus' life. I didn't see, well, I'm taking the season off. No, you make it work in your schedule. Now, you might not be as outward as you could be because you have those responsibilities. I get that. But when you're not doing anything, then maybe you need to reevaluate your season. Just a thought. Verse 38 challenges our heart. Are we living brazenly unashamed lives? This one really convicted me. So we're sitting there having breakfast yesterday. I'm like, so how can I smoothly get into this conversation? How can I get my, you know, do a split? I ain't never going to do a split. But how can I do something to get their attention in a way that doesn't offend? Man, I need to stop that. If I feel the Spirit prompting me, I just need to open my mouth, walk in and say, hey, I want to invite you to my church. I heard you guys talking about this, whatever. Allow the Spirit to lead. Let him give me the words and not worry about so much technique. I don't know about you, but my technique has only gotten me so far. You know, the warning here is if we're unashamed of him here, he will be ashamed of us. If we are ashamed of him here, he will be ashamed of us when he comes back. That needs to concern us a little bit, depending on how we're living. It got quiet, so I think somebody felt that. You're welcome. Turn over to Psalm 63. Oh, I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to tell you a message. Amen? This is the message he gave me. I don't know. If it's for you, take it. If it's not for you, I'll give you your money back. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Let's read it again. That was so good. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. What have your lips been doing lately? Now, don't come tell me. Go tell somebody else. But I pray that they've been glorifying God because he deserves the glory. Somebody said amen. You said amen. I appreciate you, bro. God deserves the glory. Does God deserve the glory in your life? Do you fully give yourself wholly to Jesus? You know, this week let's answer the simple questions. Who is Jesus to me? What do I have in mind? Am I denying myself daily? You know, we said a lot today. There was a lot said. I pray that we got something out of this service. I pray, not just for this service or for any other service, that you will talk to somebody before the day is over about what you intend to change from what you heard today. This is not entertainment. No one's up here to make you feel good. No one's up here to. We're here to give a message, hopefully to inspire, to encourage, but also to challenge. If we walk into Sunday services and midweeks and just take them and say, hey, that was good, what are we having for lunch? We've all wasted our time. We are here to be challenged to change. We're here to be inspired to get closer to this God who gave up everything for us. Amen? Amen. At this time, we're going to take our communion. You know, when we think about what the communion means to me, I think it means just that I get to commune with God. I get an opportunity to have a relationship with him so that when I'm down, when I'm feeling all bunch of certain ways, that I can go to him first and that he will meet my needs. So as we go, as we have our communion, let's just thank God for forgiving our sins. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do not deserve you, God. We do not deserve the things that you're doing in our lives. We don't deserve the even to be called your disciples, but we thank you so much. We thank you that you feel that we are worth all the efforts you've ever made. We thank you that you love us immeasurably, God. We thank you that you are so concerned for us, Father, where you call us to talk about things that are uncomfortable so that we will one day be found in you. I thank you so much for the cross, God. I thank you so much for your sacrifice. I pray, Father, that every day we will grow further and further in love with you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.